Chapter 32. Reacher thumped back over the expansion joint at 9:30 in the evening and was outside the diner before 9:35. He figured Vaughn might swing by there a couple of times during the night. He figured that if he left her truck on the curb, she would see it and be reassured that he was okay, or at least that her truck was okay. He went inside to leave her keys at the register and saw Lucy Anderson sitting alone in a booth. Short shorts, blue sweatshirt, tiny socks, big sneakers, a lot of bare leg. She was gazing into space and smiling. The first time he had seen her, he had characterized her as not quite 100% pretty. Now she looked pretty damn good. She looked radiant and taller and straighter. She looked like a completely different person. She had changed. Before, she had been hobbled by worry. Now she was happy. He paused at the register, and she noticed him and looked over and smiled. It was a curious smile. There was a lot of straightforward contentment in it, but a little triumph, too, a little superiority, like she had won a significant victory at his expense. He handed Vaughn's keys to the cashier, and the woman asked, "Are you eating with us tonight?" He thought about it. His stomach had settled. The adrenaline had drained away. He realized he was hungry. No sustenance since breakfast, except for coffee and some empty calories from the bottle of Bud in the bar. And he had burned plenty of calories in the bar. That was for sure. He was facing an energy deficit, so he said, "Yes, I guess I'm ready for dinner." He walked over and slid into Lucy Anderson's booth. She looked across the table at him and smiled the same smile all over again. Contentment, triumph, superiority, victory. Up close, the smile looked a lot bigger, and it had a bigger effect. It was a real megawatt grin. She had great teeth. Her eyes were bright and clear and blue. He said, "This afternoon you looked like Lucy. Now you look like Lucky." She said,
"Now I feel like Lucky."
"What changed?"
"What do you think?"
"You heard from your husband." She smiled again, 100% happiness.
"I sure did."
"He left despair."
"He sure did. Now you'll never get him."
"I never wanted him. I never heard of him before I met you."
"Really?"
she said, in the exaggerated and sarcastic way he had heard young people use the word. As far as he understood it, the effect was intended to convey, "How big of an idiot do you think I am?" He said, "You're confusing me with someone else."
"Really?"
"Look at yourself," Vaughn had said. "What do you see?" "I'm not a cop," Reacher said. "I was one once, and maybe I still look like one to you, but I'm not one anymore." She didn't answer, but he knew she wasn't convinced. He said, "Your husband must have left late this afternoon. He was there at 3 and gone before 7.
"You went back?"
"I've been there twice today."
"Which proves you were looking for him."
"I guess I was, but only on your behalf."
"Really?"
"What did he do?"
"You already know."
"If I already know, it can't hurt to tell me again, can it?"
"I'm not stupid. My position is, I don't know about anything he's done. Otherwise, you'll call me an accessory. We have lawyers, you know."
"We?"
"People in our position, which you know all about."
"I'm not a cop, Lucky. I'm just a passing stranger. I don't know all about anything." She smiled again. Happiness, triumph, victory. Reacher asked, "Where has he gone?"
"Like I tell you that."
"When are you joining him, wherever he is?"
"In a couple of days."
"I could follow you." She smiled again, impregnable.
"Wouldn't do you any good."
The waitress came by, and Reacher asked her for coffee and steak. When she had gone away again, he looked across at Lucy Anderson and said, "There are others in the position you were in yesterday. There's a girl in town right now just waiting.
I hope there are plenty of us.
I think maybe she's waiting in vain. I know that a boy died out there a day or two ago. Lucy Anderson shook her head.
Not possible. I know that none of us died. I would have heard.
Us?
People in our position.
Somebody died.
People die all the time.
Young people? For no apparent reason? She didn't answer that, and he knew she never would. The waitress brought his coffee. He took a sip. It was not as good as Mrs. Gardner's, either in terms of brew or receptacle. He put the mug down and looked at the girl again and said, "Whatever, Lucy. I wish you nothing but good luck, whatever the hell you're doing and wherever the hell you're going."
That's it? No more questions?
I'm just here to eat. He ate alone because Lucy Anderson left before his steak arrived. She smiled and slid out of the booth and walked away. More accurately, she skipped away, light on her feet, happy, full of energy. She pushed out through the door, and instead of huddling into her shirt against the chill, she squared her shoulders and turned her face upward and breathed the night air like she was in an enchanted forest. Reacher watched her until she was lost to sight, and then gazed into space until his food showed up. He was through eating by 10:30 and headed back to the motel. He dropped by the office to pay for another night's stay. He always rented rooms one night at a time, even when he knew he was going to hang out in a place longer. It was a reassuring habit, a comforting ritual intended to confirm his absolute freedom to move on. The day clerk was still on duty, the stout woman, the nosy woman. He assembled a collection of small bills and waited for his change and said, "Go over what you were telling me about the metal plant."
"What was I telling you?"
"Violations. Real crimes. You were interested in why the plane flies every night?" The woman said.
"So you are a cop?"
"I used to be. Maybe I still have the old habits." The woman shrugged and looked a little sheepish, maybe even blushed a little.
"It's just silly amateur stuff. That's what you'll think."
"Amateur?"
"I'm a day trader. I do research on my computer. I was thinking about that operation."
"What about it?"
"It seems to make way too much money. But what do I know? I'm not an expert. I'm not a broker or a forensic accountant or anything." "Talk me through it." "Business sectors go up and down. There are cycles to do with commodity prices and supply and demand and market conditions. Right now, metal recycling as a whole is in a down cycle, but that place is raking it in."
"How do you know?"
"Employment seems to be way up."
"That's pretty vague."
"It files taxes, federal and state. I looked at the figures to pass the time."
"And because you're a nosy neighbor," Reacher thought. "And?" he asked.
"It's reporting great profits. If it was a public company, I'd be buying stock, big time. If I had any money, that is. If I wasn't a motel clerk."
"Okay."
"But it's not a public company, it's private. So it's probably making more than it's reporting."
"So you think they're cutting corners out there? With environmental violations?"
"I wouldn't be surprised."
"Would that make much difference? I thought rules were pretty slack now anyway."
"Maybe."
"What about the plane?" The woman glanced away.
"Just silly thoughts."
"Try me."
"Well, I was just thinking, if the fundamentals don't support the profits, and it's not about violations, then maybe there's something else going on."
"Like what?"
"Maybe that plane is bringing stuff in every night to sell. Like smuggling."
"What kind of stuff?"
"Stuff that isn't metal."
"From where?"
"I'm not sure."
Reacher said nothing. The woman said,
"See, what do I know? I have too much time on my hands, that's all. Way too much. And broadband. That can really do a person's head in.
She turned away and busied herself with an entry in a book, and Reacher put his change in his pocket. Before he left, he glanced at the row of hooks behind the clerk's shoulder and saw that four keys were missing. Therefore, four rooms were occupied. His own, Lucy Anderson's, one for the woman with the large underwear, and one for the new girl in town, he guessed. The dark girl, who he hadn't met yet, but who he might meet soon. He suspected that she was going to be in town longer than Lucy Anderson, and he suspected that at the end of her stay she wasn't going to be skipping away with a smile on her face. He went back to his room and showered, but he was too restless to sleep. So as soon as the stink of the bar fight was off him, he dressed again and went out and walked. On a whim, he stopped at a phone booth under a streetlight and pulled the directory and looked up David Robert Vaughn. He was right there in the book. Vaughn, D.R., with an address on 5th Street, Hope, Colorado, 2 blocks south. He had seen 4th Street. Perhaps he should take a look at 5th Street, too. Just for the sake of idle curiosity.